forgot to tell you that my name isn't going to be Stephen Anthony.
Okay, what is it?
My name is Stephen St. Can you change that on everything?
Oh, maybe.
Why the change of the name?
You know, I've gone with this name for 5 years now, and I just think it's time for a gimmick change, and it's time to change my name.
Okay.
You've had the same name for a while now, though, haven't you?
I've had the same name for a long, long while. So.
Well, that's good on you. I just felt like I couldn't. I just felt like I wanted more of a punk rock name, and so I've changed it.
You wanted to, okay, that makes complete sense. I like it. Welcome to Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly dose of wrestling news and commentary. I'm your co-host, lifelong wrestling fan, Al John Go, former broadcaster, actually real-time broadcaster, along with Stephen Anthony, the wrestling historian. We're gonna get into
Stephen St.
Stephen St. Okay. Oh my God, Stephen St. We will be talking about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. Tons of stuff going on this week. And a lot of results for the big shows that we have. Money in the Bank, Ring of Honor. God, what else we have, man?
Dominion. And
got a lot of stuff going on, too. And we also will be celebrating, I don't know how many years it's been. But since Austin 316, the anniversary
of Austin 3. That would have been King of the Ring 1996. It's 20 years exactly.
Oh my God, 20 years.
That's one of my favorite pay-per-views too. It's so awesome. It's so involved. Mm-hmm. It's just great.
I don't know if we're going to cover the Cruiserweight Classic spoilers because the tapings did also happen this past week.
Well, I know some people don't want it to be spoiled, but I think we could talk about it and who I think will be the major participants. We could do it like that without giving away.
Fair enough. Before we get into it, let's go ahead and talk about our great affiliates, those people that support us like you every single week. You know, we do appreciate you giving us those 5-star reviews on iTunes and liking and subscribing to our show as well on YouTube and everywhere you can catch fine podcasts. But we also would appreciate if you shop using our links, because then you'll also get to support our show monetarily, because we provide this show for you for free every single week. Check out our links on Amazon, ProWrestlingCast.com. Before you go to Amazon to buy everything that you normally would buy online, like myself, I usually do that. What you need to do is go ahead and go to our website at ProWrestlingCast.com, and there you'll be able to click on our Amazon link and then support our show. Go ahead and do your shopping. You can even use our very convenient search window as well. So let's say you're looking for WWE replica titles. You can go ahead and put that in there, and then bam, pops up. And then when you hit purchase and put it in your cart and you buy it, you complete that purchase, the Amazon folks will give us a little bit of extra commission for that. It doesn't cost you any more. It just simply means that you like our show enough to go ahead and support our show every week. We also have links to highspots.com. I'm wearing my WrestleCon t-shirt here from California, so you can go ahead and purchase your stuff. Independent wrestling and, of course, shoot videos that you can take and stream with you anytime you want when you create your account using our link. Click on the link to highspots.com and go ahead and do that. Also, links to WWE Shop and WWE Network. Save money on all the gear you're going to buy when you go to NXT, when you go to SmackDown Live, when you go to WWE Raw Live, and wear the shirts of your favorite superstars. Maybe it's Shinsuke Nakamura. Maybe it's Bayley. Maybe it's Seth Rollins. Maybe
it's Nakamura. It's Nakamura. Yeah.
He's got the coolest merch. Go ahead and click on that. Or maybe Mr. AJ Styles, also a very popular gent in there as well. Go ahead and click and use our link, and you can save money. Sales go on every single day, where you can save anywhere from 15 to 35% off. Buy one, get one free. It changes per day, so click daily using our link at ProWrestlingCast.com. Now on with the show.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one, when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm gonna reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
What a wonderful time. Last week, I mentioned briefly in our cut and paste show, which I thought was kind of funny because you had your 15-minute segment, which was great, predicting Money in the Bank. And you and I actually were both predicting pretty well on that show. Not too shabby. And you're on mute, Stephen. You're muted.
What? What do you mean that literally or metaphorically?
What? That you're on mute? Because that was literal.
Oh, okay. I have breaking news. Bobby Roode pinned in his first NXT house show event.
Oh, really?
By TM69. Oh, wait, TM61. I like to say TM69.
You know what? I don't understand. They never explained what the hell TM61 is.
I think it has something to do with Australia or something.
Okay, well, thank you. That's great.
Remember.
Thank you.
I can't remember.
That's wonderful. I'm glad they decided to explain it on NXT because I think that's a horrible name for a tag team.
NXT is going to be probably getting really weird for a little while here. I mean, actually, the shows that they have in the can that lead up to TakeOver are really, the next three I've seen are totally awesome. And the Nakamura-Finn Balor match that... The first thing I said was, man, if they did Nakamura Finn Balor in a long match on NXT, I'd be happy as a clam. Well, they did do that, and apparently the match is awesome and setting up the main event of TakeOver Brooklyn. So they hotshotted that early enough before the pay-per-view in Brooklyn that I feel like that Finn's going up quickly. Maybe we'll see Nakamura win the belt and they'll bring Joe up. I don't really know. Nakamura is so popular in NXT. It's really amazing how popular he is. And you know, I heard that when they did the UK tour, there were kids crying and shit, you know?
Well, isn't it interesting? NXT is a cool brand. It's very punk rock. You know, I mean, obviously it's punk rock, but with, you know, highly produced punk rock. I mean, does that make sense? I mean, these people claim ownership of these superstars that come in from an independent or, you know, promotion overseas. Mm-hmm. They gravitate to them. They call them their own. They call them fans of Nakamura since day one, which you are obviously, and which I have become as a result of doing this show. Right. So, I mean, I don't claim to, you know, be a fan of New Japan, although I am aware of the product, have been aware, and actually do watch it and have watched it before this show. I actually TiVo it.
Sure.
Because I have it on DirecTV. But
and they got some great shows. They're doing the Okada Nakamura match is coming up on the TV show from last summer, and that's pretty much a 5-star match.
Well, right. I mean, yes. Does it upset me the fact that I have to watch New Japan Pro Wrestling in high definition with a 9-month delay? Yeah, it sucks.
Well, if you're into the tape trading philosophy of just watching the match for its pure quality because you've heard it's 4 or 5 stars, it works. But if you're watching it in an episodic way, it is hard. But they do their shows sort of sporadically anyway. But no, yeah, year off. Come on. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't watching Nakamura in 2003. You know, I'm not going to pretend like you know. If anything, in 2003, I was, you know, I knew Japan was down. Hardcore was on its way out. WWE was terrible, and Ring of Honor was starting to sell a couple of tapes, and that was a bad time. So yeah, I'm a Nakamura fan once he turned a little bit, shall we say, more eccentric, you know. Yeah, exactly. His newer character.
Yeah, when he had bad hair back in the day. But
well, it didn't look good up close, guys. I was 1 foot away from it. That is some weird hair.
That is weird.
That's some weird hair, and that's fine.
By the way, this is also the podcast of hair. weekly reports and green gear and faces and fashion sense, which I do not have any of that. So once again, I'm your host, Al John Go, Pro Wrestling Cast co-host, wrestling fan since day one. This is true. Joined by the my illustrious co-host, the man with the glove of injustice, the wrestling heel commentator, Mr. Stephen.
Anthony, I've changed my name back.
I was like TK421. I mean, whatever the hell.
Steven TK61.
TK61. I hate that name.
Yeah, it is a shitty name. I do think the name The Gorillas of Destiny from New Japan is an awesome name. I think that would be a good name.
Much better than some of the other tag team names that have come
to. You know, and we should do it. Maybe you could set it up where we do it in a weekly segment where I apologize for the prior episode.
But, okay, can you apologize for the prior episode?
Right. I just wanted to apologize to the LSU fans. I think you did some clever editing and made it seem like, you know, what I was saying was that people in Mississippi, Ole Miss fans, say that Baton Rouge fans smell like shit. But that's not true. They say that. And then I was making comment like, well, fuck them for saying that.
Oh.
Ole Miss fans smell bad. That was actually what I had said. That being said, a lot of people in Baton Rouge smell really bad.
Oh.
Oh, now I'm going to apologize for that.
It's all right, I think. Yeah. All right. That's okay. I'm okay with that.
Let's see LSU win the title this year, though.
The comments of Mr. Stephen Anthony do not always represent the comments of Pro Wrestling Cast, just so you know.
And I have some more controversial comments set for later that I'll be apologizing for next week, later in the show.
Okay. Do you like that sound effect? There you go.
I haven't called any women bitches yet, so that's effective.
That's great.
It's early in the show.
Speaking of calling women out, your boy Jerry Lawler.
Oh God.
I touched on it a little bit in the week of wrestling news. Is there any more about Jerry Lawler being suspended that you could shine a light on?
Just that he's a disgusting pervert, and he always has been a disgusting pervert. And I've been waiting until now to actually say that. He's dating a woman 39 years younger than him, and he has a history of this. And I know people say, hey, that's okay. And some people say, hey, that's, but I just think it's really strange. And I think it definitely shows a lack of character. And of course you're going to have a domestic issue when you're dating a 22-year-old. That's how old she was when we started dating. I mean, a fucking 22-year-old comes up to me, I can't even, where I don't even know how to relate. I mean, how do you relate to a fucking 22-year-old when you're 70 or whatever? It's just very bizarre to me.
I don't get it.
But I did have some controversial statements to make about Mr. Lawler. But, you know, if you want me to make them, I will. If you don't, I understand.
Maybe we should steer clear of that if we're going to have any wrestlers on in the future.
All right. That's fine.
I don't know, man. Well, I mean, okay, why don't you say what you're going to say?
Okay.
And if it's too controversial, I'll edit it out. How about that?
Okay, that sounds fair to me.
Okay, go ahead.
Because you already had to edit out something I said a couple of weeks ago.
Go ahead, man.
What I wanted to say about Jerry Lawler was that Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the dead, and you ignore that at your own peril. So we have to be firm and say this. That with his actions, he's in total rebellion against God because he's a pervert.
Okay. Well,
I set that up all week, planning it out really strong.
Wow. Okay, no, that's good. That's good.
You know, when we reviewed the Jerry Lawler Blu-ray, you were like, hey, you hate Jerry Lawler. Why didn't you bury him on the show? And I'm like, well, I don't want to just bury the guy. And I mean, the Blu-ray was good at the Terry Funk empty arena match and all that. But, you know, now he's done something, you know. And then he bragged about, like, oh, I'm at the police station hanging out with the police, but they put her in jail because I'll run Memphis. Well, whatever. I mean, you got some fucking problems, man. And if you keep dating people 40 years younger than you, you'll never relate to anybody, you know. And that's why this happened, because she's like 26. She wants to get drunk and go hang out with her friends and watch the game or whatever the hell happened. And I mean, that's all there is to it. But that's why I've never been a Jerry Lawler fan. I mean, there's some weird shit going on there, man. There's just some weird stuff going on there for me.
The end of last week's show, I did play a John Cena parody of Hulk Hogan in the Gawker case.
Yeah.
Which was kind of funny. I've looked to see if Hogan has made any type of reference to that particular skit. He has not. He's remained silent. Hulk Hogan apparently is a huge John Cena fan, and I have to wonder if his feelings were hurt as a result.
I think his feelings get hurt pretty easy. I don't know anything about whether or not his feelings got hurt about that particular thing happening. Hogan's, you know, he's really made a lot of impressive things happen lately with the help of that billionaire from Silicon Valley. But, you know, now we know it was a shadow situation where the lawsuit happened, and Gawker's still fighting to even file bankruptcy now. It's pretty interesting. I actually like
the Hogan impersonation that Cena did. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, here's the thing. Hulk Hogan, as much as I don't want to admit it, that's the most important thing that happened to wrestling. It in a sense ended the territories because it gave Vince McMahon Jr. the ability to wipe out pretty much every territory. So it didn't really wipe out NWA, the Crockett, for a while, and AWA and whatever. They all hung on for a couple of years. But with Hogan and the Push and MTV and the NBC, Hogan's the most important facet of wrestling history in a way. And I would like to say Steve Austin was better, you know, our promo of the week guy. Steve Austin was more popular for periods of time and drew more money, maybe in merch, but it's Hogan that changed everything. It's sad that you know, some of the aspects of who he really is has come out now, because he's a very fishy kind of guy with fishy friends who he loses from time to time. Hogan's something else. Hogan gets in the news. Hogan's a rap.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of that is in part of how he was brought up in this business. You know, he started out working in nightclubs and things of that nature, and it's already, you know, it's already a crazy business enough as it is when you're working in nightclubs and being a bouncer and being a musician and doing all this. And you and I both know, because we've worked in clubs and we're musicians and we've, you know, we've done that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's thrust into the world of professional wrestling and protecting kayfabe and doing all this. So then, you know, he's living his gimmick. He, you know, and like a lot of stars from his era, you know, they're always on the work. You know, it's a whole different era from the days of the Piper, Rhodes, Hogan's, Flair versus the way it is now. It's different.
Piper, Macho Man, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior all lived the gimmick, and they were all more successful than AJ Styles, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, you name it. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is, because they lived the gimmick, and that was the last era to live the gimmick. But Roddy Piper acted crazy if you met him. Macho Man was a dangerous person to be around if he was in a bad mood. Hulk Hogan, you know,
is Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Is Hollywood with his sunglasses, and he sees his fans, and he's very nice. Hulk Hogan was always nice and sweet to every fan he could meet, and he did everything right. He just, you know, once his woman turned on him, that was it, man. It spiraled from there, because then the great book of secrets was opened.
Yes, it was. I'm going to, yes, it was. Release the Kraken.
Review time.
Happens to most people in this world. They work their whole lives and then they retire. All the retirees don't last long. They have no purpose in life anymore. Didn't you used to be Jane the Snake Roberts' family?
You're a sick man, Robert.
Oh, that's true, I am. At least you know that.
All these things that happened to me as a kid, they make who you are.
Yo, Jake. We haven't heard from you in a while. Give me a call.
A month. A month ago, you did crack, man.
How often do you feel like you fight the addiction?
24/7.
Before anyone can actually help you, you gotta be ready to help yourself.
It's not a choice, man. When the cravings hit you, it's on.
I'm right here. This is the beginning.
And I can't change what I did.
I don't want to hurt him or me anymore, or anybody else who cares about me.
Our dad is changing.
He tapped me on the chest. He said, son, I want more time.
time with you.
No one believes it's gonna happen.
All I can do is change what I'm gonna do tomorrow.
So what do you really want?
I wanna be free.
I know it's gonna be tough today, and then we'll get to tomorrow. We'll say it again. If you wanna stay with us, you don't drink ever again in the presence of us, period.
One, two, three, four. I just had both my boys tell me they were proud of me.
You keep seeing that light, no matter how dark it gets, you keep seeing that little light, and you strive to the light.
Never underestimate the power you give someone by believing in them.
I wanted to mention to you all is the fact that just really quickly, the resurrection of Jake the Snake hit Netflix this past week.
Yeah.
And you and I both saw it. I saw it for the first time. I almost, you know, my weekend had been totally just in shambles because of me working over the past 2 weeks, but it was such a great documentary.
Man, you know, the overall message of, you know, I'd heard about it and I'd seen some, I didn't want to really watch it because, you know, I was like, this is like Beyond the Mat part two, which it is.
Which they referenced, by the way.
But it's better than Beyond the Mat. You know, you see the daughter from Beyond the Mat, who they made look bad because she was very overweight and she was young and she was like in that goth girl hateful period. And now she's changed. She's lost weight and she's in a better frame of mind. Jake in the same way, but now they rehabilitate him. Mm-hmm. His friends are not like weird carnies so much as, you know, guys on the level like DDP and other people in his life. It was more of a family environment. The overall message was, and it almost made me tear up, and I really mean that because of my own personal life, because the message was, if just one person believes in you, if just one person believes in you, it can change everything. That's the message. It has nothing to do with wrestling. If one person believes in you, it can change. This guy was, you know, hey, let me tell you something, Gainesville, Texas. Let me tell you something about Texas. Being broke in hot ass Texas in the summer, it ain't good. You know, so to bring him back and do that selflessly, DDP is a controversial guy, but you got to admit his results are there. And then having Scott Hall kind of come in like, hey, you know, he comes and hangs out too. I mean, you could have done the same story, but with Scott Hall. I think Scott's a little darker than Jake in a weird way because, you know, Jake's, you know, Scott killed someone, you know, which he admits to when he was younger. And I think that really shaped his life and changed him a lot. You know, he almost served hard time for that, but didn't. He was a bouncer in a nightclub, another bouncer in Florida. And, you know, anyway, that turned him that direction. Jake's abuse issues, I feel like, turned him his direction. And here's DDP wanting just to help them because he was the one person who cared about them, didn't want to use them. And then they were able to turn their whole life around. It's a beautiful message. It's a beautiful story. It's really well done. And Jake's an incredible worker on the camera. I know it's real, but he works. It's so good. He's a master. He is a master. Here's a guy that lived his gimmick like those other cats, but he was too strong on it. I mean, that was a dangerous gimmick to live, right? You know, some gimmicks are easy to live. Ultimate Warrior's working out with steroids. Ah, Hulk Hogan signing. I guess allegedly, yes, absolutely. Although there was,
I mean, there was some concrete there, but anyway,
there was allegedly some failures of the stuff. But anyway, they Ultimate Warrior, they knew what he was doing, and they just wanted to get rid of him for save their own butts and the feds. That's my opinion on that. But my point is that Jake's gimmick to live is a dangerous gimmick to live. You got to be wild and on the edge, dark, doing drugs, fucking people over. That's the Jake the Snake gimmick. So he had to. He's too good.
Yeah, he was great. And yes, as you look, this is the successor to Beyond the Mat, you know, the story of redemption. And man, I like Dallas Page. You know, how can you not like Dallas Page? I mean, yeah, people say he's annoying and he's always on the sell. He's always doing this. He's trying to sell his yoga products and all that stuff. And look, I get that. But he does have a message, and I believe he's sincere. I've met Jake. I shook his hand. Have you met Jake before?
No, I would have remembered that.
Oh, I met Jake. I went up to him, he and DDP, and I met them twice, actually.
Yeah, I knew you met DDP.
But I met DDP. Well, I've met DDP maybe three times in my life. And he's always been very amiable, very cool, played it cool in front of the fans. I mean, that's kind of DDP's thing. He's a diamond stud. He likes to go around. He owns the place, and he's, but very cool. I did buy the DDP yoga, have yet to do it, right. Actually, that's not true. I did do it for a couple months. I just, I'm very not disciplined, but, I tell you, yeah, that's true. But Jake was really, really nice. Really nice. I said, how you doing, Jake? Big fan. He's like, hey, brother.
Thank you so much, brother. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just very, very nice. Thank you for your support. It was like a couple things, but he was always very, very nice. And I couldn't agree with you more. He totally works the camera. He likes to build in that high drama. And but are there points of sincerity there? Yeah, there are. In fact, I think it was a very earnest documentary, that told a great story. And the Scott Hall thing was great too. The fact that they helped each other out, and at the very end, where they were kind of doing that whole thing in the mat, and all of them kind of hugged in the ring, was just a beautiful thing.
It was beautiful.
It was definitely better than any. Than most of the WWE pay-per-views I've seen over the past 2 years. So
it was better than any WWE thing that they've ever done.
Yeah.
So as far as a documentary, that's just,
it definitely has a great style. I give my props to the director and the cinematographer for it. And there's some really great moments there. So overall, my thought is yes. If you're gonna buy this DVD, this Blu-ray, buy it for that, buy it for extra commentary, do whatever you need to do to see this film. Watch it on Netflix. If you're a Netflix subscriber like Steven and myself or whatever, go ahead and do it. Steven, your verdict on the resurrection of Jake the Snake?
5-star match. I mean, brilliant. It all builds up to him going to the Hall of Fame, and he gives one of the most haunting old time wrestler things ever in that speech that sums it all up. He's doing a great promo right at the Hall of Fame, and the fans chant, "You still got it," because the fans love to chant shit, right? That's their annoying thing. "You still got it," and he says, "No, I still want it, but I can't have it."
Oh my God! Yeah, you're right.
And that's heavy. That's heavy stuff. But that's Jake the Snake, And I don't know if you know this, but his eyes are like two black holes up in the sky. My wife hates that. She gets scared when I see. He says, "My eyes are like two black holes up in the sky." It's like, Jesus Christ. How evil are you going to be in this damn thing? This is a kid's wrestling show. Calm down.
It's pretty evil. All the superstars will tell you, they have these little interviews in the very beginning, but with Chris Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
And all of them. And they're like talking about how evil Snake was, and he was believable. It was believable. And probably the most impactful finishing move. And this is, it's still my favorite finishing move of all time, because it can hit you out of nowhere. All kinds of people have made versions of it, from the Diamond Cutter and RKO and reverse DDT from Sting and all that other stuff. It's just, what a great impactful move. And to this day, no one still does it better than Jake the Snake. If you look at how he delivers it, he delivers it with integrity, delivers it with a lot of power and a lot of quickness, and I believed it. And that move was devastating. And you and I both remember what it was like to see him and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and have him deliver that DDT, where literally I saw it in that clip, and I flashed back to when I was a child seeing it on Saturday Morning Wrestling, and I was thinking to myself, he just killed Steamboat.
Well, he almost did kill Steamboat, apparently, in real life too.
He literally got a concussion because of that that move.
When you get knocked out cold, that's bad. Yeah, I remember that very clearly. That Steamboat was in two great angles: the Macho Man one and the Snake, and the Jake the Snake one, where he had brutal injuries and he come back as a baby face to face them. Mm-hmm. Steamboat, man, it's so sad that he didn't have more time with that character in WWF, some blame his wife, but I won't do that.
I won't blame his wife. He's a product of his own decisions.
You're right. I mean, but he let his wife take control. So that's what happened there.
Oh, you know what? That, well, once again, it's his decision. He wanted to do that, and he had his family.
Completely.
And you know what?
Hey, don't put down a guy for caring about his kid more than a dumb fucking WCW pay-per-view, right? You know, that's what I say to people. Like, oh, the WCW Capital Combat, though. Well, okay, he's got a three-year-old. Calm down.
Yeah.
You know, he just doesn't worship this shit like Jake the Snake, who ends up like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He got upset. Yeah. So I have no qualms with Steamboat, one of the greatest workers ever.
I agree.
Great angle. We love Jake the Snake is the point. And
I love the message that you brought out. Yes. The belief, if you don't have belief in yourself, having belief shared by someone else mean a lot. All it takes is one person. And that is a strong message. It's a strong message for life. I hate to say that too, but for life.
I've experienced it from both directions. So I know all about it. But they displayed it step by step on it. My poor wife was just crying the whole time. I shouldn't have. I felt guilty showing her the damn thing. But, you know, we had just.
Why? You know what? At the end of the day, it's a very uplifting, very morality type of situation. This is what happens. It happens to people on a daily basis, and you can either suck it up and not ignore the call. Jake the Snake woke up one day, much like Scott Hall woke up,
right?
Heeded the call, and the phone. And speaking of the phone call, the phone call Scott Hall made in the voicemail was like, "Wow, man. I mean, I'm just thinking about it now and I'm completely blown away that a man of such a stature of superhero like status that Scott Hall is would pick up the phone and humble himself to Diamond Page. And then all of a sudden, you know, have that footage be shown on screen. And then the reaction and his earnestness that comes out when he's being interviewed. It really is something else to see. And the fact that Jake also was, and you see, we could talk all day about this, but
right.
Jake was so, he was so forthcoming with his Kickstarter and how much his fans really do love him and wanted to pay for his surgery. So,
it was awesome, man. You know, and to see a guy like Edge talk about, you know, think about how good Edge is at promos, and Edge is light years away from Jake in promo ability, light years. And he knows that, you know, it's not an indictment of Edge. I'm just saying that's how awesome this cat was.
Well, look, he is Michelangelo. You know,
wow. I don't guess for heel wrestlers. Yeah.
Well, for Jake the Snake Roberts, you know, he is regarded as a Michelangelo. You know, you have other wrestlers like Dusty Rhodes, who's considered in that very same vein. You have masters of their art, right?
Yes.
We have masters of the art of the promo. Jake the Snake, Dusty Rhodes, Roddy Piper. Ric Flair. Those guys are magnificent talkers. The Rock. You know, so those guys are masters at their craft, and everybody holds them in high esteem for good reason, because to this day, they're promos that you can recite or that you remember you know, whatever the case is, they're memorable. So,
and guys, don't worry about Terry, because after we watched the documentary, we watched a 2-hour-long Twisted Sister documentary.
Oh, which you liked, right? It was good, right?
It was a little long.
It was very long, but it was
good. You got that glitter? You into that glitter? You want to wear some of that glitter on stage with us? Like, Rock's guy's talking about wearing makeup. Very strange.
Hey, man. I told you that Twisted Sister documentary was great, wasn't it?
Hey, Al John, you want to be a glitter boy with me? You want to get up on stage with some lipstick?
Yeah. Why not? I'll go up on stage with you.
You got that glitter.
I like that glitter rock.
See, this is who I represent, bro. This is who I be representing. That's what's going on over here.
I like that.
That's a Paul D'Anno t-shirt. Paul D'Anno Iron Maiden, all right?
Speaking of,
I don't own all their albums.
This week in wrestling news.
Speaking of guys who definitely hold those promo guys in high regard, you're looking at the New Day and the Elite of the Bullet Club.
Yes.
Believe it or not, they actually got together for a video game. What was it? The Video Game Supremacy Night CEO 2016 convention Saturday night in Orlando. An interesting night for Marks, not just for video game fans, but for Marks, because never the two shall meet. New Japan Ring of Honor, WWE. How cool is that, right? The Elite even created mock t-shirts inspired by the New Day's unicorn theme, which I want to buy. I want to buy that shirt.
Well, you know, Kenny Omega and Xavier Woods are obviously very close, and they're both heavy-duty gamers. I follow them both on Twitter, and they talk back and forth a lot. And they're, you know, the convention was obviously really a fun time. Kenny Omega, I saw Kenny Omega super kick a nerd earlier in the weekend, and then I said this morning I was on my Twitter and I saw them having a dance, Xavier and Kenny Omega having a dance competition. A dream match, the Elite versus the Elite Bullet Club versus what are they called, the New Day, my God, you know. Which is funny because they're doing probably the Club versus New Day, the Club. I love both of those acts so much. That's what wrestling has become, is guys like that. You know, and I hope the old timers can understand that. The Jim Cornettes, who, you know, gives my man Kenny Omega a hard time, you know, on Twitter. It's like, why don't you just shut the fuck up? I mean, you're old school, and I like Mid-South and WCW, and then this is like New Japan and Ring of Honor stuff. Like, just shut up. Like, I really don't care, you know. He's over here spreading this crap just to get on him out in a podcast. But well, you know, I started arguing. I tweeted. I said, Kenny, please don't argue with this guy. He's an idiot.
But here's a cool thing, right? So Monday night, New Day walk out on WWE Raw, and he named the New Day the Elite Tag Team in Pro Wrestling, which was hilarious. Right. I remember that. I remember seeing that, thinking to myself, oh, that was a little bit of a shot, and it was absolutely amazing.
You immediately texted me, actually.
Yeah. Oh, did I really?
Oh, wait, was that you? That might have I might have been on our Wrestle Fun board on Facebook.
Wrestle Fun board? Yeah, maybe I did mention it. I know I thought I did talk about it, but I thought it was hilarious. So, hey, did you hear this rumor about Ospreay, our boy Will Ospreay?
It's happening. It's happening.
Okay, tell everybody what's going on.
All right, first of all, I got so upset at Vader that Aljon had to edit what I said about him. I asked him to edit it, by the way.
A couple weeks ago.
I got very upset. Now, there's a lot of things going on that maybe led to that happening, or my reaction. But what I said was, you should have a match with Will Ospreay. And he goes, what the fuck? You know, like I'm a jackass. And now they've booked it. Vader versus Will Ospreay at Rev Pro.
Okay, so you did it. You did it. And you heard it here first, Pro Wrestling Cast. You did it.
I'm like, you got all this heat. I said, you have all this heat from this Twitter crap. I said, you might as well book a match because you haven't been booked in a fucking match for years. And he's in Vader's in great shape, actually. And he looks great physically.
Well, did we not? I saw him. We all saw him on the Table for Three, did we not? Like last year or something.
Yeah, but like he posts pictures of himself posing on Twitter, and he's actually
really? he's actually just not just a roly poly. He's like legit.
He's got a lot of showable muscles on his like frame. He's looking good.
Okay, well, good.
He looks less fat than he did like in '98.
Apparently they're supposed to meet in the ring to maybe come down to a confrontation. I think that it's going to be a viral video of epic proportions. They probably won't have a legit match, but it will be a meeting of the mind, so to speak. So I think that'll be interesting to see.
I thought it was a match. It's not a match.
I don't think it's a match. It says it's going to have it. It's according to James Caldwell of the PW Torch, he says something that it's going to happen in a wrestling ring. However, it says during the Japan's Best of the Super Juniors tournament last month, of course, they had that Ospreay Ricochet match. It is buzzworthy. We even talked about it here. And sure, we're going out Saturday at Vader versus Ospreay has been signed for August 12th at London New York Hall. So I guess it is an actual match.
Yes, it's your call, Bethanol Green. Yeah, Rev Pro. Oh, yeah, shit. This happened during the night, like in England. You know, obviously we have time changes. I don't know if everyone knows that. But, you know, this just, I woke up, I looked at my Twitter, and I'm like, Will Ospreay Vader. But it was from Will Ospreay's Twitter. So,
yeah, I had to look that up on the PW Torch site because I was like, I thought it was just, they were just going to have an event where they were going to be in the ring together. I didn't realize that it was an actual match.
Just got booked. Just got
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't, by the way, I mean, how are they going to, like, you're going to have, I mean, the only way to book that is to have Ospreay lose to Vader, right? So that's stupid. How are they going to do that?
How are they going to do it? Well, Ospreay's, of course, going to go over on the old man saying that he's Ospreay's right. It'll be the changing of the guard.
I don't think Vader will job to him.
Oh, if the money's there.
RevPro doesn't have a lot of money. No offense to them. They have all the great wrestlers. They just don't have a lot of money.
They have something.
All right. They booked it. Good for them. I'm really interested to see what will happen. But like if I
book. Okay, so let's go ahead and play armchair booker. So the outcome of this match is what?
Vader wins in a squash in 4 minutes, probably. I mean, that's how you'd have to book it.
Why? Why do you have to book it that way?
Because
Vader won't allow himself to job?
Okay.
Protect a guy whose time has come and gone?
Way gone. And a guy who doesn't get enough respect. As much as I hate the fat son of a bitch, and you're still fat even if you lost weight, Vader, because of what you said to me. But the fact is that this guy is more Hall of Fame worthy than most of the Hall of Famers. The things he's done in All Japan, the IWGP stuff, everything he's done, the Triple Crown, he's amazing. His matches in Japan from, I don't know, like 93, 94, 95, you know, off the chart. And he was still in WCW. He was the best wrestler in 1993 in America, too. I mean, I'm not reading The Observer. All you have to do is watch any pay-per-view from 93 and analyze. The guy was off the chain. So his match is very much a stiff fucking style, and he can work Japan. Obviously, Ospreay's in Japan. Ospreay does work a very snug style. I don't know if no one points that out for some reason. No one points out that Ospreay's snug and that Ospreay sells better than any young wrestler right now. And by the way, his flips are pretty much better than anybody's. I mean, I remember Mysterio came out. We're all like, wow, Mysterio's doing what people cannot do. That's what Ospreay's like. He does flips that you don't see. That's why I made that comparison. So if you book, but if you book the match, they have to do a stiff match or it won't deliver. And if they do a stiff match, the natural inclination is for the old timer who outweighs him by, I mean, literally 200 pounds would go over. So I just don't think it's a good idea because Ospreay's just started making this great, you know, he won the Super Juniors. He did lose to Kushida at the Dominion show. I think I was the only person that thought that might happen, you know, but we could talk about the strange looseness of the Dominion show booking later. Anyway, this is a very odd situation, and I'm sure it'll be very interesting. Viral video. RevPro is really good at putting their stuff on YouTube. Guys from England, man, they're into independent wrestlers or styled wrestling from America, man. Look what happened. We have Marty Scurll will be coming up sometime soon. Right. Ospreay's in Japan, and now Zack Sabre Jr. You know is in the Cruiserweight Classic. So there's a lot of cool stuff.
I think he's more in the Cruiserweight Classic. I think he might be one of my best bets to win it, Zack Sabre Jr.
I do too. I think he'll win it. I might be Johnny Gargano, might be whatever. But Kota Ibushi is my favorite wrestler in it. He was in the best match. We've talked about that match over and over again. And guys, if you haven't seen Kota Ibushi against Nakamura Wrestle Kingdom 2015, you've made a mistake. You need to watch it.
I'm just glad Ibushi made way in.
He didn't make the first one, right? Like, he didn't show up, right? Oh, but the big story.
No, he made it. He just didn't know he had to weigh in. And, you know, he's a, you know, pretty muscular dude. And I didn't, I didn't know if he'd make weight class because apparently they do kick people out, whether it's work or whatever. But yours have to be 205. Well, and I was thinking he would make the weigh in. Well, no, which is funny because I think that originally the cruiserweight title weight was actually for WCW. I think the cutoff was like 220, 225.
I know they did that when Matt Hardy did his angle in WWE. I do remember that. But I think I should point something out to everybody because, you know, and this is some real insider info. Kota Ibushi doesn't speak English well, so he doesn't know all this stuff. And the best story going around, the best damn story ever, is that they introduced him to Vince McMahon, and he high-fived him, and he's like, who was that? And they got all, oh my God, you've insulted our Lord and Savior, the Christ on earth, this evil ass Vince McMahon. You know, if he did it on purpose to be funny, it's badass. If he didn't know who the fuck he was, it's equally as badass. It's all badass. All badass shit.
I love it. So
best match in the last 5 years. Best, right, five-star scenario.
Five-star scenario. Kota Ibushi, you are officially the man. I did not know that story, but it is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, it's gone around. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's got to be true because it's so damn funny. And look, he would not sign a contract with him. So that's why I know he won't win the tournament because Kota Ibushi is wild and free.
Yeah, well, It would be nice to see Kota Ibushi there anyway. I like what's going on here. Okay, so really quick, let's hit the Cruiserweight Classic since we're talking about it, and then we're going to go into some of our results from this huge week of wrestling news. So, Cruiserweight Classic, the first round of tapings just happened, and there Daniel Bryan in the ring talking. I like it. So, tell me. What are your thoughts on the Cruiserweight Classic? Because you don't want to spoil it for people.
I think they're building to Johnny Gargano versus Zack Sabre or maybe Kota Ibushi. That seems to be where they're going. I don't know. There's a lot going on here. They had, how do I put this? They had the first round of, they've recorded the first 16 matches.
Yeah.
A lot of them are a little short. I will say that.
Like 3 minutes long short.
Yeah, some hit 10. Mm-hmm. I know Kota Ibushi and Zack Sabre and Johnny, all those guys, Ciampa was in there. They all look good. You know, the right people look good. So once they get to the 16, as Father says, once they get to the 16, then you'll really start seeing better matchups and hopefully longer times. And I mean, it might be the best thing to do all year. It looks like it might, but don't base so much on the first four episodes because they have to kind of get rid of some people. Even the Mac. And I think it'll be outstanding. And I think hopefully they'll hire Zack Sabre Jr. to be a permanent fixture on NXT. He could be huge. Ladies like the British guy, you know.
They like the accent.
I think he's a little bit more handsome than Will Ospreay, who I do find has a very big face. I don't know how to explain it. He doesn't look really attractive to me. He sort of has a big face. It's like a big jaw and a big nose, and his face is sort of
decent hair.
Ocular. It's okay. Hey, you know, I cut my hair short recently, you can kind of see it, but I guess you know, word spreads weird. But I think people thought I'd cut all of my hair off, and actually, some girls hung themselves in Tennessee, and I feel really bad about that. But I didn't cut off all my hair, so you guys just pray for those girls.
Pray for those girls. Triple H was noted saying that Zumbi.
My wife's upset again.
The Brazilian wrestler Zumbi was one of the wrestlers that was kicked out of the actual tournament because of visa issues, according to Hunter. But of course, I think it was played out that he didn't make way in or whatever because of those visa issues. Hunter says, quote, "We understand the process of which each country is different." Hunter said, "We work all the time on that, but it came time and it was running out and we could not get the visa." He was replaced by Mustafa Ali in the tournament. And so we've got, and there's a lot of people on there, but yeah, I mean, I suspect that, I'm suspecting to see a lot of awesome action from great, great indie talent. And my pick is for Zack Sabre Jr. to actually win the whole damn thing. I'd be surprised if he didn't.
I think Johnny Gargano is the best wrestler Kota Ibushi is the best wrestler in there.
Kota Ibushi is the best wrestler in there, but if he won't sign a contract, then he's not going to win.
Okay, Kota Ibushi wouldn't sign a contract with New Japan when he did that main event with Shinsuke Nakamura. Why would he sign a contract with some big musclehead he doesn't know? So he high-fived him, you know. Like, oh, high five, good to meet you. He's not going to sign a contract. He literally is wild and free.
Well, I do like... I do like, and the tapings are being held at Full Sail. I like Johnny Gargano as well. And I do like the team of Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa as well.
Excellent.
But I'm not going to spoil the results of their pairing. Because they do fight. And I'm not going to spoil the Ibushi versus Maluda match either, because I know what happens there too.
We shan't spoil it.
But I can't wait for the Cruiserweight Classic to start airing in July. And that is going to be a lot of fun. Let's talk really quick about Money in the Bank. So Money in the Bank. You look back at our picks. Funny, you chose Ring of Honor champion. Kevin Steen. You chose Kevin Owens to win the Money in the Bank, and I chose Dean Ambrose.
Well, they had to change that at the last minute, didn't they?
They did. Now here,
because somebody failed his pee-pee test.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, so let's mention that. So before we talk about Money in the Bank,
see how much we don't give a shit about Roman Reigns, everybody. See how much we couldn't care less about his push.
When do you think the WWE knew that
Thursday? Thursday.
It was Thursday. Did they not know earlier?
No. Yeah, they knew on Thursday because the smart money came in, and they said suddenly it switched. It switched to Rollins winning and Ambrose beating. So Owens was the smart money pick. And Reigns, I can't even remember. But then all of a sudden, Ambrose was the smart money. You know, the smart money is always right. It has not been wrong yet. Mm-hmm. One tag match once, just a. So Ambrose was changed to the pick Thursday or Friday, and then Rollins. I'm like, that's weird booking. Why wouldn't they do it to Owens? So they knew. Yes, they knew on Thursday or Friday. Yes, he did the pay per view with them knowing. Yes, he did Monday Night Raw with them knowing. Yes, he will be at the next pay per view in the three way. No, he will not be on TV, and no, they will never mention it. Because they're weird, but they just do weird shit. So that's what happened. Yeah, they knew. I promise you they knew. I know these guys. They've done this before. You ever heard of a guy named Randy Orton? Okay, well, he always got a mega push. A lot of people forget, you know, the thing about Roman Reigns. Randy Orton got the same dumb mega push as Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. It was like he was forced down our throats. That's why I still don't really like Randy Orton, although I see his abilities and some similarities to Jake the Snake. Some similarities. But for a modern wrestler, he's very efficient and very good. My point is that they super pushed him. The same way they did to Reigns. He was forced down our throats 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, you know, over and over. And when he failed PP tests, when he had Viper poo allegedly in Divas bags, he still got pushed, okay? So they knew about Roman Reigns' thing. They knew about Orton early, and they made their plans. Then they suspend him.
Yeah, it's because it's all about the money.
It is. It's amazing that... It's amazing that they suspended him. I'm shocked that they actually suspended him. No. I was like, shocked, you know, because
I'm not so surprised that they suspended him, because the truth will come out. But but I did not think necessarily that the title was changed. Well, okay, if they knew I feel like they knew beforehand, and that's the reason why they had the Ambrose angle pop up last minute, like they were shotgunning that angle at the last minute to, you know, for like I believe they may have known Monday.
They might have, but
because
I mean, why, the prior Monday.
But why then all of a sudden tease the Shield reunion and have Dean Ambrose all of a sudden inject himself? Well, what if I win Money in the Bank and I do this on Raw and then on SmackDown? I think they knew Monday.
Very possible, and I would think a lab would tell you Monday morning.
Yeah, because that's
not Thursday. Because I got to look. Well, I guess a new Thursday night, then change plans Friday morning, and then pay per view Sunday, Monday taping. Boom, you're suspended. Yeah, but you might be right.
They would not have injected that last minute, you know, switch and telegraphed it, and that's why I was so adamant that no, Kevin Owens is injected. Not going to win Money in the Bank. Yeah,
injected.
Yes. Right. Injected. So you see what I did there. So it wasn't because.
Yeah, I did.
So that's why I think that it wasn't because of. That's why I was so adamant that it wouldn't be Kevin Owens, that it would be Dean Ambrose, and we would be left with this situation. Now, did I think that we would have one of the shortest title reigns in history with Rollins beating Reigns and all of a sudden Ambrose cashing in? No, I thought it would be more of the Brock Lesnar type, where all of a sudden they beat the shit out of each other and all of a sudden here comes cashing in, then bam, 1, 2, 3, done. That's what I thought. So you were correct in the assumption that, or in your prediction that Rollins will win because they have to put the title on Rollins. I believe that's what you said. And then I think I did say that Ambrose will walk out of the pay-per-view with that title.
Well, I betcha their booking was for Owens to win and then be pushed to go against. Actually, I don't even know anymore. You know what, dude? I hear that they're just totally confused what to do right now because they have this massive draft thing they have to do. So it's confusing NXT and everything. And I just think they're just like scrambly right now. So probably their initial thought was to have Reigns win. I bet you. But the way he went clean as a sheet, Rollins, I thought, that's weird. But
by the way, probably one of the best finishing moves I've seen, which was Roman Reigns going in for the spear and being caught in midair into a pedigree, which I've never seen before.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before. And it was awesome. Like they showed the highlight on This Week in WWE. And I was like, yeah, man, that is the reason why I would watch that match again. Because, and dude, folks, Roman Reigns can work. Come on, man. Get off that guy already. The guy actually has great matches. All right.
He's just, you know, they just put so much pressure on this cat, and it's not his fault. But
shut the hell up, you folks, and drink your beer, fat boy.
Drink your beer, fat boy. Shut up! Shut your mouth, fat boy. I'll show your mother something later. That's what Ric Flair would come out every week and do that. Literally in 1990s.
Exactly. And that's what Roman Reigns wanted to do so bad. I think he almost wanted to say, "Shut up, fat boy, and drink your beer." I swear he wanted to say that, but instead it turned out being, "Why don't you calm your butts down and drink your beer?" Calling the people out.
He should have just did the fat boy line.
Could have done the fat boy. It would have been offensive to people that, you know, buy fast food. Anyway.
I don't. But no, actually, I do sometimes. Those crystal chicken biscuits are really good.
Yeah,
crystal. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Crystal biscuits. Reigns, Rollins, I gave 3.5 stars. I feel like Rollins is still a little rusty. And I felt like Cena was a little rusty. I hear he had jet lag from China. Did you hear him speaking Mandarin?
How about that? Okay. How about
that? Now that's impressive. Now that impressed me.
Let me tell you something. WWE gives free language classes to all of their talent. And I guarantee, as Stone Cold would say, I guarantee to you that he is speaking Mandarin studying. Because he's so good, man. Everywhere he goes, he speaks the language. And you know what? John Cena is a smart guy. And you know what? I am a John Cena fan. I hate to admit it on this podcast, but I do like John Cena.
The human? Yeah, I do like him. I do like him a lot.
Humanitarian. How can you not like a great humanitarian that makes dreams of ill children come true on a weekly basis?
He really does go. He is on. Yeah, he's a great human being. I mean, I don't know his personal life, but I don't really want to know. You know, at least he's not dating people 40 years younger than him.
That's true. He is dating a super hot woman. I admit.
Oh, he dates one of the Bellas. I forgot about that. I have seen a couple of Total Divas episodes, and his Cold of Ice demeanor with her is quite funny.
It's great, isn't it?
He's kind of like, yeah, I don't think so, bitch. I don't think we'll be having a baby. But all right, I got to go to my show. It's like, damn. This brother's cold as ice.
I know. I love it. I love it. He's great. But, you know, but anyway, yeah. Okay. Continue on with your match review.
Oh, all right. I will give a quick one. And I just wanted to say that I review matches as I see them and I immediately do it. And I send them to Aljon immediately because they are suspiciously similar to fathers. I can tell you that the NXT takeover, I was within a quarter star of every rating. Now, this time I was very off. He tends to rate these matches high, I think. It almost scares me. But I will say that the tag match, I gave 1.75 stars. I thought it was really sloppy. I thought it started off pretty good with the club and all those cats. Mm-hmm. Doing cool spots, and then just those fuckers from the fucking Vaudevillains need some training. I mean, was it me or did? And then Cass fucked up too, a timing issue on the finish, and it was all out of whack. I mean, it really, honestly, if they hadn't had such a spot fest before it, you could have gone into negative star territory. That's how bad the last two minutes were.
Well, I think they were pressed for time. They had a lot of things they needed to try to get out of the way. Everybody was trying to quote unquote get their shit in. So go figure.
Shout out to Daniel from We Are the Finale. Simon Botch. Get it?
Oh, I like that. I saw Daniel over the weekend. Yeah, Simon Botch. I do like that. Yeah.
Simon Botch. And that he literally is turning into that.
Botcha mania.
I mean, Simon Botch, he botched two fucking things straight. I'm like, wow, you're really on a roll here, kid. And then Big Cass forgot to come in to interfere in the finish. So everyone had to look at each other like,
it was funny because didn't the referee actually count to three at one point? I thought.
I don't know. There was just a cluster.
Weird stuff going on, man. There was some weird stuff going on. It was very strange.
Now, look, Baron Corbin, Dolph Ziggler, I actually gave 1 star plus a poo emoji.
Yes, he did.
So I don't know how you technically rank that, but, you know, that's what I gave him. I just don't think Baron Corbin has it. I'm sorry. I know some people like him. I know some people don't. I just don't feel like
he apparently likes him because he told, John Layfield actually said something to the effect of like, the future of professional wrestling is here. Mark my words. He will someday become a world champion.
Not if he keeps losing his hair.
Well, I tell you,
he won't. He
will not. That was according to JBL, and guess who produces JBL? Hmm? Who told him to say
McMahon
that?
Yeah, Senior, Junior.
Yeah,
that'd be creepy if Vince McMahon Senior produced.
All of a sudden, it's like the spiritual voice of God, Vince McMahon Senior, saying he will become champion.
He will become champion. You know, Corbin. I saw this on Twitter, and it was really cute. But he looks like the real good-looking meth dealer that sells good meth, and you think, hey, he's good-looking, but then you remember he's a meth dealer, so you don't. So you don't date him.
I just don't think he, you know, the one time I thought in the match that he had really good heat was when people were booing him, talking about how he's boring, and he actually stopped being methodical and put his arms out and then started saying, you know, he did the whole drink it in thing, like keep it coming, you know, hate me, I want you to hate me, you know, screw you. And I thought that was good. That showed me a little something that he was actually acknowledging the audience, because that's what ring veterans do. They'll acknowledge the audience and say, you know what, screw you, I'm a heel, I don't care. I think part of the problem is that he has a lack of expressions. He has a little bit of a baby face, which that kind of is counterintuitive to his, you know, his heel persona.
He's pretty. No, he's got a good heel face, but he's pretty. You know, and Dolph Ziggler, he's turned into like Santino or something. I mean, he is way down the card.
He seems to be happy with his space, according, you know, from what I understand. He's happy with his role in the company, putting other people over or showing new guys how to work, which is fine because he's been with the company for like 15 years.
He's been there since the Spirit Squad, and now it's 2005 or 6 at least. And then he was at Ohio Valley before that. Yeah, he's been almost 15 years in that system. Poor guy.
Yeah, crazy.
When he leaves WWE, it'll be like someone coming back from war. Like, he won't be able to adjust. I mean, that's how he's been in there too. You were there too long. You know, yeah,
he's going to be shell shocker. You know,
it'll be like the deer hunter. It's like the deer hunter. Well, same scenario will happen.
Oh boy. Well, keep on going with your match ratings. I think.
Okay, so poo emoji for that, and then the next match sucked as well. I believe it was. Now, what was next? Oh, God. Yes. Sheamus. Cruz and Sheamus.
Oh, Lord.
You know, I was being polite, and I gave it 1.25 star. Some people gave it like 2 stars, but how are we going to get over Apollo Cruz exactly with this crap? You know, this is exactly what I was saying when I was predicting it. I said these 3 matches or 4 matches first would suck, and they did. I thought the tag might be okay. They had Simon Botchamania happen. And then, you know, Cruz and Sheamus comes out and just absolutely bores me to death. You're not going to get Sheamus. You're not going to get Apollo Cruz over with this crap. And quite frankly, Apollo Cruz and Baron Corbin just don't have it. They're just not good enough.
I think they need to be put in the oven at NXT for a few more months longer.
Now, do you mean that literally or metaphorically?
Both.
Oh, my God. I mean, they literally are terrible. They literally are terrible on the main roster. I didn't think they were good in NXT.
I think the NXT people that are proving themselves now, I mean, are going to be Enzo and Cass. You know, those call ups were a good choice. I think, you know, the girls are obviously a good choice because they know how to work and they know how to build their character. But not a fan of what's going on with Baron Corbin. You know, I thought there were some glimmers. Not a fan of vaudevillains. They need that gimmick does not go over very well with big audiences. I think they just need to become just the nerdy hipsters.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They need to be nerdy hipsters, and they need to be, because you don't have those characters, and they don't, nerdy hipsters speak to what's going on in the world today in pop culture, and they can do it because they have the mustaches. They have that, you know, they have that stuff. And if they want to do nefarious things backstage because they're going to be arrogant, cool, and cocky, and whatever, they think that hipster culture is awesome, then let them do that. That's what they should do with those guys. And we'll that's how you modernize that tag team, you know, plus the fact that they need to learn how to work. But I mean, I guess they're just choking on the big stage. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think they're choking on the big stage. I think the modernized hipster thing is pretty much passe now.
It is.
And there's another undercurrent of young people coming up, and those hipsters will soon feel young or soon feel older. Like luckily we're in our late 30s, 40s, whatever, however old we are. And let me tell you this, when the hard times come, we'll see how these hipsters do. When the dark times come, we'll see how they do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, the vaudevillains, I got a perfect angle. They come to the ring without their intro. Vince McMahon comes out and he goes, "You're fired." And then they're fired.
Okay.
That's my angle for them. And they don't. They're just fired. They don't go to NXT. They're fired. They failed. They were given a job and they failed at it. And where I'm at, if that happens, they fire you. So they should fire them. I'm not trying to be a jerk. There's just 258 to 354 better wrestlers right now in the U.S. alone, and that's the truth. So we need to make room for Johnny Gargano and Biff Busick, and you know, they need to get out the way. Sorry.
I, right on. So what else did you think? And
the women's match was also shitty. This Beth Phoenix is terrible. This Alexa Bliss, this Beth Phoenix, this Oni Lorcan, what's her name?
You talking about Alexa? You talking
Dana
about
Brooks? Dana Brooks.
Dana Brooke.
Mm-hmm. This Dana Brooks is terrible. She is absolutely terrible. And I did notice that a British girl changed her hair back. I think that's a good thing. Is she not British?
She's Irish.
Okay, that was a mistake. I apologize. I do truly apologize for making that mistake. The last kicker has changed her hair back. Charlotte is floundering because she's in this dumb situation. And it just wasn't a real good match. And then they had Natalia turn heel out of the blue at the end. And it was like, okay. See, I think they're setting up Sasha Charlotte for one show and then Becky Lynch, Natalia for another show. That's what I think is probably, I think it's a brand split. And that's a very basic idea. Splitting up the women's division now is a mistake. But they're obviously going to do it. You should do all of the women's matches on one show and really feature them correctly and good, stronger matchups. And I just think that's the way to push them properly. You know, they will blow it. And to be honest, you know, the whole women's revolution thing has really taken a heavy duty decline lately. Now with Sasha back, we'll see if they can bring it back. Sasha is the hope of the future. And, you know, Bailey was supposed to come right up and then they weren't sure what to do all of a sudden lately. That's
got cold feet.
I don't know what to say. I mean, if you don't bring her up, she's going to be like 52. And then,
you're right. I mean, this is something I've wanted to say for a while, is that we are now in full on holy shit mode for WWE because they put off the brand split from earlier this year to now.
Right.
SmackDown going live. They have the talent that was injured now returning. And so you're seeing a hybrid of storylines and the soft reset on storylines that they were building for last year's WrestleMania, trying to come back around again.
Right.
You also have the influx of that new talent from NXT and that brand split. So literally all the roads that they're trying to work in to the main event leading up to WrestleMania and the live SmackDown and the draft and all that, everything's trying to converge and they are buckling under the pressure. Now you have 5 weeks between now and the next event and only several weeks between the draft. So how do you book that without giving away potential storylines?
Larry, let me try to predict. Okay, hold on. They'll blow it. That's my prediction.
You know, I also had a lot of hope. And yeah, you know, if we're going to skip over, you know, the rest of the Money in the Bank, I mean, look, I think Money in the Bank was I still thought it was a very entertaining show.
I got so bored. I got so bored that by the time they had the actual Money in the Bank match, true story, I was making love during that match. I actually stopped watching the pay-per-view. That literally happened. And when I came back out, they come saying, "We're getting ready for the main event," and Dean Ambrose says the Money in the Bank, and I went, "Damn it! I knew they were gonna fuck up that booking." That literally was how bored I was, and it was. I rewatched it, and it was about a 3-star match. I'm so tired of ladder matches. I'm so tired. Terry's up.
I enjoyed it.
I'm so tired of ladder matches. You know.
I enjoyed it. You know. But look, after all the horse shit. Was Money in the Bank a buy for me? Mm. Believe it or not, the only match that I will watch again is going to be the main event.
Well, I liked AJ Cena. I thought Cena looked really sloppy, but still, AJ is so good. He almost brought it to 4-star match range. He's that good. AJ's on fire. He might be the best wrestler in the world. I say it every week. I'm never sure because how can you quantify that?
Well, I guess you're right. You're right.
But God, he's so good.
I've forgotten, you know.
We forgot about the podcast too. We forgot about that.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So really quick, Those are my highlighted matches too. AJ Styles, Cena, Money in the Bank. So do those two matches on its own merits make good?
Not good enough for me, but a lot
for me. But yeah, you know what? I guess
a lot of people it did though. I noticed, so that's fine. It wasn't a bad pay per view. It just sucked for 2 hours straight.
Yeah,
and that's not cool for me because that messes up. You know where my train of I like to watch individual matches that are awesome. I don't like to watch so much a straight pay-per-view. Obviously, I watch straight pay-per-views, but they put so many inferior matches on straight. I was just like, man, are you kidding me? Like, are you trying to make me mad? You know, they should have put one on early. Put on the Money in the Bank first. You know, do one of those deals. Don't do it like that again. Don't book that crap. Don't put freaking Apollo Crews in an important match ever. Yeah. Those are my thoughts in general. Did you want to talk about Dominion at all? I know we're running.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do Dominion real quick. Go ahead.
I just say Dominion was an impossibly long freaking pay-per-view. It played at 4 a.m. As usual. I thought it was excellent. The four matches I'll just highlight. Yuji Nagata against Shibata. This feud is just one of the most outstanding things I've seen this year. It hasn't been getting a lot of play. If you guys remember Yuji Nagata from WCW Nitro in 1997, it's the same dude except he's older. He won the never open weight title from Shibata more recently, and their match, and then now Shibata won it back at this pay-per-view. They are tremendous. I love their stiff matches. Shibata is one of the best wrestlers in the world. It's probably the best stiff wrestler in the world. And I just love it. They're just a huge fan of them. So I gave that's about a 4-star match. Kushida against Will Ospreay. Kushida did beat Ospreay. I think a lot of people were surprised. A lot of people were disappointed in the match. I thought it was another great match, another 4-star match. You know, a little surprised at Gato's booking perhaps, but it makes sense, you know, especially if Ospreay is up in the Super J Cup tournament and then has a rematch with Kushida, and he might be feuding with Bushi, so we'll just have to see what direction they go. Michael Elgin against Kenny Omega, a tremendous ladder match. They obviously had to replace Michael Elgin. Michael Elgin was a replacement for Tanahashi, who's hurt and hopefully will be ready for the G1, which is a very taxing and difficult tournament for any wrestler to pull off. They had an incredibly awesome match. I was surprised that Elgin won with the super push Kenny Omega's getting. But again, Al John, it's the same old rule. If a babyface loses his spot in a main event, you replace him with a babyface of equal or lesser value, and that babyface always goes over. And that's how they booked it. Michael Elgin's getting a big push right now. He had a big title win last night in CMLL. Then, just to be honest, I'm very upset by the booking. And maybe it's because I'm a mark for Tetsuya Naito, who I've been talking about every week. It's my new favorite wrestler. He did lose the title back to Okada. They had a tremendous 4.5-star, 35-minute kick-ass fucking match. I'm just so in love with the Naito character. I hope that this booking means that he's going to win the G1 and they'll have a big Wrestle Kingdom match. Naito is the best wrestler in the world right now. I don't care how I sound. He's an incredibly awesome Japanese wrestler, first of all, okay? And then you put with it his incredible gimmick. He's got the best gimmick going right now. He's got a really cool group. He's got a great intro. His facial expressions, his mannerisms, everything he does out there is so good. I'm surprised Okada won, but if you look how he booked those four matches, he had every babyface go over in title matches, and every one of them flip, except the Kushida didn't lose his title, but he's the baby face, you know. So I think that's where he went with the booking. It's a little quizzical to me because Ospreay and Omega and Naito are all getting mega pushes, but I think he said, hey, I'm just gonna have all the baby faces win in this match and then move on with my booking from there. So, you know, I won't doubt him yet because he's my favorite booker gone, but kind of a weird set of circumstances to end matches. But again, another 4 4-star matches, you can't beat that for a pay-per-view. You know, you're lucky to get 2 these days, so to get 4, and Dominion's always a great show. It was great last year and the year before that, so
I would definitely give it a watch because I have yet to see it because of my busy weekend, but
of course,
definitely on the agenda.
Yeah, great, great. Definitely worth it. Those four matches are worth watching alone. I mean, just the other matches are fine. There wasn't anything that really stood out to me. And I think they need to work on their tag team division. They have so many tag teams, but they have 2 sets of belts. So, but who knows, you know?
True that, true that. By the way, I hear good things about the Ring of Honor. The thing that I look forward to watching and catching up on is going to be the Briscoe Lethal match, which is going to be great because like I said, I'm very high on both. And the first time that they met, they had an incredible match, and the second time, and you know, so
always a great match. I hear the main event was really great. I heard it was a little short. Mm-hmm. It went 13 minutes, and I think probably 18. Would have been a better amount of time, but I'm now that's a quizzical booker, Delirious. I find a lot of his decisions really, really odd. But I can tell you that during the Steve Corino match, that Kevin Sullivan, the lights went out, and when the lights came on, it was Kevin Sullivan. And if you think I was surprised, like Kevin Sullivan, like what? Are you sure? He had on his satanic robe and his golden spike, and he continues to spread Satanism with it for whatever reason.
Nice. I'm glad he found his way out of the dungeon.
And in one final tribute to the fallen babyface hero, Black Jack Mulligan, I just wanted to say that Obuda Dean himself knows that Mulligan is the king of the barbed wire.
Dude, let's talk about TNA. They just call you up and say, hey, man, here's what we're going to offer you. I'm not asking for numbers, but how did they structure their offer with you?
Well, I was wrestling World Wrestling All-Stars, I believe it was. They were doing this tour, and I went down there and wrestled and met Jeff Jarrett. Mm-hmm. And he was the one, him and his father were running TNA. Basically struck a deal there in Australia. Didn't think much of it. You know, I thought it's another independent. I'll go do it, make some money while I'm at it. That's how, as far as I know, I was the first guy they ever signed to a deal. So
what were your thoughts on TNA? I mean, because you spent, 12 years there?
11 strong years there. And listen, for 6 months, I didn't care. To me, it was another independent. And I was okay with that because it was a Wednesday night and I didn't have anything going on anyway. And I was able to earn some bucks. As it grew, as people told me that this place is going to go out of business and it never did, and you go, you know what? We got something here. And I was having unbelievable matches with Low Ki and Jerry Lynn, one of my favorites, one of the guys I learned a lot from. And then went on to started doing more stuff and gets bought out by Panda Energy. And then this thing's really starting to go. Now we start moving to Orlando. I mean, it was a slow build. And now it's really taking a turn for something big here.
Why leave TNA?
I feel like when you work hard, you should get paid for that.
Damn right.
And I worked hard. I never, you know, got in trouble. I never did anything to embarrass the company. And yet I was taking a pay cut. At least that's what they wanted me to. I didn't think that was right. I put a bet on myself. I bet myself that I could go to Ring of Honor and then somehow get in the New Japan. And everything worked out. And that bet worked. You know, I believe in myself.
Thank you.
Last but not least, we have to touch on this. AJ Styles on the Stone Cold podcast on WWE Network. I have to say that it was very interesting to see how much TNA they did talk on the show.
Oh, well, they sure did. I mean, this was a typical burial. So, like, we're finally going to talk about TNA. We built it up, blah, 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 and we're burying their catering. AJ Styles is a good old church-going boy from Georgia. And that's all right with me. But that doesn't make for a terribly interesting interview unless you have probably a little bit more of an experienced styled interviewer. I think we all love Steve Austin. We all love his King of the Ring 96 promo, which is the promo of the week. And I think we should make AJ Styles the wrestler of the week, by the way, because he somehow pulled out a good match with a jet-lagged John Cena, and he buried TNA the next night. And he'll soon be the SmackDown champion. And he's and as Virgil said, his hair flow is on point tonight. Jesus, Virgil.
Oh my God.
He wrote AJ's hair flow is on point tonight. And I'm like, oh my God. Funny. Now that's a funny wrestler's hair comment.
I love that, because especially coming from Virgil, who has none. So that's pretty good.
But I just think it's funny. It's just Virgil's crazy. But that's okay. I like him. I forgot where I was at. Yes, and then he buried TNA, and he buried them deep in beneath the ocean where Cthulhu were to live if he were a real thing. And, you know, That's awesome. I got to say, I heard they weren't going to be able to do Slammiversary unless they got an influx of money, and Billy Corgan injected some money into the situation so they could do that in their set of tapings. And lo and behold, who do I see at the fucking tapings? Is Billy Corgan coming out in a suit with a microphone and a notepad and his sunglasses on. And I'm like, oh my God, Billy Corgan's a character on TNA. And this is what he wanted all along. And I can't handle this much anymore, Al John. I will not deal with Billy Corgan being a heel GM. I will not deal with that. I will not watch this. I don't care how many great Matt Hardy promos they have.
Yeah.
Billy Corgan, the heel manager, like he's Bobby Heenan. I can't deal with it. I can't deal with it.
Let me say this.
Okay.
Let's go back to AJ Styles for a moment.
Who? Oh, yeah, AJ Styles. Let's
go back to AJ. So he says all this, and then he talks about literally the literal four horsemen of TNA. You know, you got Kazarian, you got Daniels. And Joe.
Yeah. Well, none of those guys wrestle anymore. So TNA was wise to not try to. Oh, wait. Oh, they're all, aren't they all champions? Well, that's not a problem. I mean, obviously, listen, dude, I told Dixie Carter to push Samoa Joe. Don't blame me. And don't blame Dixie. It's people like John Gaborik and people like Billy Corgan and Vince Russo and Bruce Pritchard coming in and Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff. They don't care enough or darn wise enough about the product to help, because Dixie Carter is a good person. But I told her to push Samoa Joe. I don't blame me. I might have been the only person.
Did you think you were talking about Stone Cold's Austin's experience in interviewing? And for those of you that don't know, I think I have more than 4,000 interviews under my belt.
Literally. And he has like 43.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you pointed out beforehand some of his issues. We were talking about Paige, and I think he got distracted by her youthfulness.
Well, I think there are some things that throw interviewers off. And if you're not careful, you know, because I spent, 17 years doing radio, when you're doing an interview, you have to still be energetic, but you can't be over energetic, because if a talent comes in and they're very excitable,
yeah,
you can lose control of that interview quickly, because then you're amped up to the level where it's a runaway train. And I think that Stone Cold starts off his podcast very much on that energetic level, and after 15 minutes, he tries leveling out.
Yeah, So
he starts off very high energy, to the point where sometimes he botches some of his words that come out of his mouth. So he has to slow down. He has to be more methodical. And he did try that, especially when he was talking about the intro with the Cleveland Cavaliers winning the NBA finals. You have to be able to kind of calm down, take inventory, and not botch it, because what he does in the ring is methodical. If he could bring more of that into his interview style, then he'll be okay. But you run in this particular interview a very interesting situation where you have to acknowledge for the people out there AJ Styles' past, which they have never acknowledged.
He passed away
in TNA.
Oh, okay.
In TNA,
right?
They even used shots, I guess, with Bill Apter and some other folks. They were, taking pictures and stuff, and they actually showed a TNA ring and TNA pictures on the WWE Network. How funny is that, right?
Did they show that?
They showed AJ Styles in TNA. They showed the TNA turnbuckle, because they had the four guys there, and then they had several different clips that they would show of him in a TNA ring.
It's turning into a snuff film, this whole situation for TNA with WWE. I mean, that's what's happening. It's turning into a snuff film. They're snuffing them out.
So what did you like? I mean, yes.
I didn't.
They spend half the time talking about his childhood and how he was beaten as a child with an alcoholic father, and the other half talking about bearing TNA.
I mean, right. Alcoholic father part was okay. I think the most telling part is that he was a cheerleader, and that kind of made everything make sense.
Wait, did you think he was a cheerleader with his wife?
He tried to beat around the bush, you see, but I figure shit out. And he was a male cheerleader. He just sort of kind of admit he's a male cheerleader. He said, oh, I would help out and catch him. That means you're the male cheerleader.
No. I thought that I got the impression that he actually was helping his wife with the flips in the backyard where, you know, said, I can do that. But I didn't think he was a male cheerleader. I thought he was just helping his wife.
I bet he was a male cheerleader. He looks like a male cheerleader.
Oh, Christ.
He doesn't look like it now that he has his hair flow on point. But when he had the buzz cut, he looked like a male cheerleader. Think about it. He looked like he would have been in the green, what was that shit? The Spirit Squad.
Spirit Squad. You're right.
The green guys, the Spirit Squad. He looked just like that. He was a male cheerleader.
Nikki.
You know, Ta-Nehisi did another interview over the past week that we've been off saying the same thing. He thinks AJ Styles is the best wrestler in the world, and he hopes to wrestle him again soon. AJ Styles is the shit. You don't see Ta-Nehisi saying, boy, I sure love that Simon Gotch. Boy, I really can't wait to see Baron Corbin in a New Japan ring. But he says about AJ.
The fact of the matter is, I think he showed that he had a lot of fire, that he was willing to do what it took. And I think it wasn't just him talking to the WWE Universe or him talking to Stone Cold. I think in the final moments of the podcast, he was talking to Vince McMahon.
He's doing a fantastic job. And as I read in the Observer Wednesday night, when he came in, he was going to be a low to mid card wrestler that they really wanted to get away from TNA, that they wanted to give a good look at, maybe using NXT, but he was going to be at best a mid card wrestler at a Ziggler level. And then he got the pop of the Royal Rumble. It kind of threw their asses off. Okay, they're like, whoa, he's more popular than we thought. And then he worked the great feud with Jericho. And then after he did the job to Jericho, which was sort of how they wanted to end that feud all along, he got a main event push.
But they tested him. You know what? It was all a test. And what we always say, it's a test. People say, oh, they're burying him.
They always test him.
You have to test the talent to make sure that they don't go off the kilter and do something stupid.
Jericho jobbed to China, he lost the IC title to her. Maybe it was, I forget how. I mean, they were testing him. I don't think it's a good idea, but that's what they always do. And it's never really a burial because it's just setting up for later. Because if you act like a brat, like Vader or something, and you don't want to do a job, for example, you know, they won't be using you too much because they'll know where your head's at. But they test people like that. Maybe they'll test you by having Bob Holly beat the shit out of Randy Orton like they did when he was a rookie. But there's always a test, and AJ is a great wrestler, and he's a family man, and he's a good person, and he deserves all of this. And he did pin John Cena. I didn't like how they did it, but he did pin John Cena, a week ago. So,
well, hey, look in the books, Chris Jericho is the first undisputed title holder.
And
they'll never talk about the fact that it was Booker T that came in and hit the Rock and all that other crap, you know. So
yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, Booker went through the same thing.
Yeah, but yeah, Booker went through the test. Everybody goes through the test. So they come out at the other end and they come out better superstars as a result.
For me, this
interview with Stone Cold I thought was good, but it didn't get really good until they started talking and acknowledging TNA, and then it got really good when he started talking about how much he wants, you know, how much he loves being here and how much Stone Cold said. And in a very controversial moment that was very interesting, very telling. Are you comfortable with the role that you have here?
Yeah.
And then he came out and said, I'm going to do my very best in whatever they put in front of me, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to kill it. And that was him talking to Vince McMahon. And that's what he's done.
And about one more thing, too, about AJ. A lot of people say, oh, he doesn't do the Styles Clash as much, and his finisher is that elbow. That top rope elbow is one of the best finishers in wrestling right now. It's very impactful.
It looks so good.
It looks great. That's why it's his new finisher.
That is a Superman punch, folks. If you want to talk about a Superman punch, that is a Superman punch.
Of all the things they dropped the ball on, and they dropped the ball on almost everything, they haven't really dropped the ball on him. Yes, he shouldn't have jobbed to Jericho WrestleMania if he was going to have a main event feud. I understand that booking is stupid. It's their 50-50 logic, but that's their decision. But the overall decision of the booker, because there's a difference between the booker and the writer. The booker said, I want to put him in a feud with Jericho and see how he does because he got a big pop at Royal Rumble. He did good in a feud. I want to put him in the main event now. That's what the booker does. The writer's coming up with all that weird crap, okay? Mm-hmm. His hair's on point. Virgil said it. He's having 4-star matches with people that are jet lagged almost. Okay.
That will pretty much wrap up our show. There's still so much more to talk about. Continue the conversation online, facebook.com/prowrestlingcast. Also, Twitter, follow us at P Wrestling Cast. Steven, your Twitter?
Dr. Deathmark, and don't forget my new name, Stephen TM6169K.
Follow me at Aljon Rocks. Also follow us. Follow me at Jedi Musketeer for more geeky Marvel, Disney, and Star Wars related tweets. We've got a great archive of shows at ProWrestlingCast.com, Amazon links, High Spot, WWE Network, T-Blocks also coming on board. We do appreciate you. And Magical Journeys Vacations. Hey, you know what? You want to go to Universal and check out Halloween Horror Nights or Harry Potter or whatever the case is, or even Disney Parks or any cruise line, check out Magical Journeys vacations.com. I do appreciate it. Thank you so much. Celebrating the 20 years of Stone Cold 316. I just whipped your ass. Or Austin 316. I just whipped your ass.
Yeah.
That is your promo of the week. In the meantime, don't forget to tuck your head and we'll see you next time. Nick Bockwinkle for life. Adios.
Promo of the week.
The fourth prestigious King of the Ring, Stone Cold Steve Austin, an incredible victory.
The first thing I want to be done is to get that piece of crap out of my ring.
Come on.
Don't just get him out of the ring, get him out of the WWE. Because I've proved, son, without a shadow of a doubt, you ain't got what it takes anymore. You sit there and you thump your Bible and you say your prayers and it didn't get you anywhere. Talk about your Psalms, talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whipped your ass.
He is stone cold.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is go buy him a cheap bottle of Thunderbird.
All right, stop
and
it.
Try to dig back some of that courage he had in his prime. As the King of the Ring, I'm serving notice to every one of the WWE superstars. I don't give a damn what they are. They're all on the list, and that's Stone Cold's list, and I'm fixing to start running through all of them.
All right, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And his remarks?
Yes, sir. As far as this championship match is considered, son, I don't give a damn if it's Davey Boy Smith or Shawn Michaels. Steve Austin's time has come. And when I get the shot, you're looking at the next WWE champion. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Obviously, anything but humble. The fourth prestigious King of the Ring, Stone Cold Steve.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.